The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
I will be discussing John chapter 16 from 16 to 24 with us this morning. All right? It says, a little while and you will no longer behold me, and a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not behold me, and again a little while you will see me. Because I go to the Father. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this? That I said, a little while and you will not behold me, and again a little while you will see me. Truly, truly I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Did you see that thing? It's something prophetic that you should give an amen to. In that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, it will be given. He will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have not asked for nothing, okay? In my name, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. For a topic, I might be considering the road to greatness, but I'll just keep it as history. Remember, we're talking about prayer, the kind that shapes history. When I was looking at this discussion, I didn't understand where the discussion was going. These people are, Jesus said something on verse 16, a little while you will no longer behold me, and a little while you will behold me. The question, the thing he said, threw them off balance. And they were asking themselves, what kind of question is this? What kind of statement is this? What is he talking about? Where is he going to? You know, sometimes life will throw you a question that you don't have an answer to. Sometimes life will throw you a statement that you are as if you are falling and you're trying to pick up yourself from fall. I don't know if it has happened to anybody, where you just wake up and you just see that life just happens. These guys came to this place where the riddle that life has put before them, they didn't have answer to the riddle. You know, riddle is very wonderful if someone gives a riddle and then there's someone else who has answer to the riddle. Or someone is fixing a jigsaw puzzle. Jigsaw is very wonderful if someone has the answer. And the answer to the jigsaw is the picture. How many of you have seen big saw before? Only one person. Hey. Jigsaw. Puzzle. Jigsaw. Okay. Puzzle. What do you know? The nchoko. Nchoko. How do I explain jigsaw? Maybe you should ask your children what a jigsaw is. Jigsaw is, you have a picture, then they split the picture into small papers. You now know what it is. Beautiful. They call it jigsaw. Milo. The person that has the answer to the jigsaw is the person who has the picture. If you don't have the picture, assuming the jigsaw is Noah's Ark, you must have a picture of Noah's Ark to be able to fix the jigsaw. If you don't have the picture of Noah's Ark, you'll not be able to fix the picture. This is where these people came. They have pieces of jigsaw in front of them, but they didn't have the picture to put it together. You know, in Nigeria, we just woke up and discovered that life has thrown us an economy where a bag of rice is now has gone from 8,000, 6,000, 20,000 naira. 23,000. That's life just happened there. And we're asking ourselves, what happened? And then life threw us another situation where we woke up one day, we didn't see tomatoes again. And nobody knew where tomatoes ran to. And then someone says, tomatoes has sickness. Tomatoes Ebola. And many of us had to resort to alternative measures to be able to make stew. Life just happens. That is what just happened to these people here. We have been with this guy. This guy has been with us. We have been enjoying fellowship. Everything has been going well. And now life has presented another curve. Has it ever happened to you that you're driving and then you get to three junctions? There are three roads and you don't have GPS to be able to know where to navigate. Has that ever happened to you? And you ask someone, which of these roads should I take? The person says, go straight. And then you get to the end of the road and discover you are the wrong road. And you have spent 20 minutes on this. Today we're going to participate together. Has it ever happened to you before? And then you look for the person who sent you on this road. The person is not even there. You come out again. They say, oh, we are going to Mebelerewa. You missed it. Go left. And then you go left. And then you get missing in the middle of the left. Life just happens. Have you ever gone to buy something in a shop and you saw the package that was so beautiful, you bought it, and you have expectation for what you will use it for, only for you to get home and open it and discover that it didn't meet the expectation? Well, I live in a country where you can't return it back after you have opened it. And then you take it back. The person says, I buy them too. And then you are left with something that does not meet your expectation and you can't return it back. Life just happens. The disciples of Jesus came to a point where life happened. And in the next verse, Jesus knew the questions they were asking, and so he threw back the questions to them again. You know, sometimes when you're trying to find answers to life, life throws another question. One of my friends will say, now, he says sometimes it doesn't pour, it rains. That's what one of my friends says. He says, sometimes it doesn't pour. He said, when I'm about to finish this starts. When I'm about to finish it, this starts. That's what is happening to these people now. Question, when life throws you things that you don't understand, what do you do with it? When life hands you lemon, what do you do with it? When life hands you lime, what do you do with it? When life hands you bitter cola, what do you do with it? Maybe you should give me an answer now. When life gives you a blow, and then you find that you're on the floor, what do you do with it? When you stumble into your husband's phone and discover that this guy, that two of you have been saying, I love you, I love you, I love you so much. There's someone loving him by the side. Life has thrown you a question. What do you do with it? Do you want to go box him, or do you want to lock him out of the gate? When the guy who is supposed to come back by 7 o'clock now comes back by 12, and when he comes back, you see condom in his pocket, and both of you don't use condom for the exercise, what do you do with it? When life hands you nonsense, what do you do with it? How do I navigate myself from a corner that is too tight and bring myself back to the road? How do I keep my emotional balance? How do I not lose my head when my house rent is late and the landlord wants to lift the gate? What do I do? What do I do when I'm paying an instrumental something on a mortgage and all of a sudden the people I'm paying to comes to say, no, this thing is over? What do I do when my mortgage is late? What do I do when I arrive late? When it looks as if I've arrived. Am I talking to real people in church? What do I do when I arrive late? What do I do when this refuses to come on time? What do I do when this came, but it's better thrown away? What do I do when I regret the very wedding ring? I got so excited and I put on the wedding dress, and that day they played a beautiful song and I danced my life out. What do I do, Pastor Charlie, when I look at the wedding ring? I just wish I can throw it away. Life just happens. What do I do when I have made the worst mistake and I find it difficult to forgive myself? When I know that this thing, I know it well. This mistake, I could have avoided it. I would have just done this and done this. This would not have happened. Now I didn't do this. Now I didn't do that. This has happened. These two things are not impossible things. I would have done them. things as simple as that I didn't clean the floor when the water poured on the floor. Now my two-year-old is passing through the floor and hits his head on the tiles. And now we are in the hospital, and the hospital bill is going from 20,000 to 30, 30,000 to 40, 40,000 to 50. I didn't plan for it. It's not in my budget. I didn't wake up. I just saw it. Life just happened. I don't know whether I'm talking to anybody today. Good. Once I get you somewhere, I will land this plane. What do I do when I wake up in the afternoon and say, I'm going to drop my children, pick my children from the school, and I'm driving, and then I sleep off. And the next time I open my eyes, I find myself in a gutter. And someone just gave me $100,000 for me to use to do something. I have to divert that fund to fix my car, and I'm still be owing the mechanic a 50,000 naira. What do I do when these things happen? You know, sometimes things you didn't plan for, you didn't prepare for, you didn't think of, they just happen. What do I do when I'm done with giving birth? I'm from nowhere. I'm not feeling well. And get to the hospital. Say, congratulations, you're pregnant. Doctor, I don't want congratulations now. I'm not looking for congratulations. How do we explain it in a world where some people that don't want children at all, and children keep saying, now your house I will come, now your house I will come. And then there are some people who don't have at all, and the child does not come at all. Sometimes when I look at children, I ask myself, do you have sense at all? How do you explain a house where the man and the woman have so much money they can afford anything on earth, and children don't show up in that house, and then you have a madman on the street who can afford not diapers, who can, and then the children shows up, and then you have a man who him and the wife are trying to survive, they don't have a job, and then the wife is pregnant again, and now they have 12 children. They can't. Life just happens. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand life, but I know life just happens. But I'm going to show you how to bring a soft pedal when life is happening. Jesus knew that they wished to question him. When life happens, if you talk to any other person before you talk to Jesus, you will get the wrong answer. My message is over. These people were busy. Life has just happened. I can't take it anymore. Jesus knew that they wished to ask him a question. Friends, your Father in heaven knows that whenever you're confused, whenever you don't know what to do, he knows you want to ask him a question. He wants you to ask. And so, when I was reading this whole drama, I'm wondering where Jesus was going until I got to the last verse. Because from he started talking about people who are going to give birth, a woman who is in labor, and I'm wondering what is the connection between where are you going to and the women who are going to give birth. I didn't see any connection in it. So I went to look at it closely. I told myself, Jesus is going somewhere. So you know, I started following the discussion until I get to verse 24. That your joy may be full. No matter what life has handed over to you, God has a goal that he can take those sorrows and turn them into bowels of joy. And then he began to show them how to go from the place of confusion, from the place of I don't know what to do with my life, from the place of it's not fair, from the place of God is not fair, from the place of I can't handle it anymore, he began to show them somewhere. So look at what he said. He began to say, he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. When things happen to you that are very, very dilapidating, when things happen to you that are very, very, very unfair, when things happen to you that are very, very sorrowful, what is going to do is going to kick you, whether you like it or not, is going to kick you from the place of laughter to the place of not so much laughter. Because you're a human being, that's what happens. When things happen that were ugly and you did not expect, it throws you off balance. That's what Jesus was saying. Yes, as I'm going, You're going to feel very bad. You're not going to have joy. But he now shows them the strategy to use. He said, but at the end of that sorrow, it's going to be turned to joy. I believe there is always light at the end of the tunnel. Church, do you hear what I said? I'm prophesying this morning. I believe there's light under the at the end of the tunnel. So I want to give you the strategy Jesus gave them, and I'll be out of your way. The first strategy he gave them, he said, when a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. Whenever you find out that life has handed you a contradiction, you need to be pregnant with a desire. Jesus said that a woman, immediately he started talking about pregnancy and he started talking about labor pains. When life has handed you something you did not prepare for, no matter what happens, make sure that in the midst of that confusion, that you begin to kick yourself into the zone of desire. What is desire? You're going to be pregnant with what actually you're expecting to happen. My pastor will say, any area where you are believing a lie, there will be hopelessness. He said, anywhere you see hopelessness in your life, in that area you're believing a lie. So as I'm talking to you now, is there any area you see hopelessness? Friends, in that area you're believing a lie. I want to ask you, what desire are you pregnant with? What are you pregnant with? Are you pregnant with the future? Are you pregnant with a better tomorrow? Are you pregnant with a better meant life, better life for Nigerians? Are you pregnant that this whole economic crisis is just for a time? It's not going to be there forever. It's just for a time. It won't last long. After a time, God will turn it around. If you are pregnant with desire, you are like a woman who is in a labor pain. Women, if you understand what I'm talking about, when you are during pregnancy, you don't feel the kind of pain you feel when you enter labor. I've just have come to speak to everybody here today who is in a pain of any condition. You know why you are in pain? The time for you to give birth has come. And at this service, we will be pushing you into the labor world because you'll be giving birth very shortly. Whether you're a man or you're a woman, I just want you to know that there is a voice from heaven that told me today that some people who have been in pain, it is the pain of labor. Your pregnancy, the pregnancy of that desire has gotten to full term. And in this service and in these 40 days of fast, we are going to go through labor pain to push out the desire. And I prophesy over you that these 40 days will arrive well for you. Amen. Let your amen thunder. Amen. Let your amen thunder. Amen. Having said that, I want to ask women here who have given birth before. When you got to the labor ward and they say push, did you say to the doctor, this thing is too painful. It's too painful. Let me go home. I will come back tomorrow and come and give birth. Is that what you do? Talk to me, family. Is that what you do? No. Women didn't answer. Is that what you do? No. Now, men that saw their wives going into labor, or you didn't see your wife, or you saw someone who they labor engaged. When you get to that point where the pain is like excruciating, you don't say, my wife, let us go home. I don't want this pain to kill you. Follow me. I love you so much. Let us go. Tomorrow or 3 days after, when the labor pain has gone, we will now come. Nobody does that. All you do is that you keep consoling that woman. You keep comforting her. You keep soothing her so that that labor will bring out the baby. I've come today as a midwife. I have come today in this 40 days fast that our pastor announced. Dr. Benson has announced 40 days. It is gestation period. Pregnancy is 40 weeks. We are on 40 days fast. We have come to tell you your pregnancy is heading to full term. And any time from now, the desire you are carrying, you are going to give birth to it. If you believe it, stand up and shout, amen. Amen. Help me touch 4 people. Tell them, don't give up. You are about to give birth. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit? Can we pray in the Holy Ghost? Are you ashamed to pray in the Holy Ghost in this church? Is it a taboo in your church to pray in the Holy Ghost? I've come to speak to everyone who is travailing. I've come to speak to everyone who is going through one kind of pain or the other. I've just come to salute you. I want to salute great men and great women who are going through pain. You know why? Something is about to happen. You're about to give birth to your desire. And you know that those desires, most times, when you need something, God will plant them in your desire and they begin to come out. And then I'm going to show you how to go through the pregnancy so that you don't kill the baby. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Jesus said, you know how we do this thing? Go to the Father. Tell the Father I sent you. That is what prayer is. Prayer is going to the Father. Pastor Charlie, can we do a little drama? Pastor Clem, can you come? Pastor Charlie, you sit here. He is traveling with something. I want to show you the route to giving birth in these 40 days. You are traveling. Okay. Go to the Father. Tell the Father, I sent you. It's your desire. Put my name on it. Go to the Father and collect it. All right? Good. So, you go to the Father. And then what do you say to the Father?
Father, I have come to you this morning to ask the thing that I'm be wishing to get. I need a phone this morning. I need a phone that I will use to browse. I need a phone.
Okay, he has gone into the spirit. Stand up. I want him to be in the flesh so I can get a picture. Okay, now tell me to go to the Father and tell the Father I sent you.
Mom, please go to the Father. Tell the Father that I sent you to him.
Okay. Daddy, Clem sent me to you. Clem is your son.
Yes.
He's your first son.
Yes.
He sent me to you for you to give me the phone. Please, Daddy, can I have the phone now?
Yes.
That is what prayer is. Thank you. Go to the Father and tell the Father I sent you. It's as simple as that. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, my God. Is there anybody with an ATM card? Clem, come again. Pastor Charlie, we're done. Tell me you need money. Give me your ATM. Tell me you need money.
I need money.
You need money?
Yes.
Okay, take my ATM. The code is 6784. Go and get the money. Prayer is taking Jesus' ATM to the ATM machine. So this 40 days. This 40 days, that is simply what we are doing. Can you do it now? And look at the bottom line. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Ladies and gentlemen, the only reason why he wants you to ask is that your joy may be full. That's the same thing the Bible says in Psalm 16. Verse 7. Maybe we should read from verse 7. It's the same thing the Bible said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It's the same thing the Bible said in John 15 from verse 7. We just read all of that. The bottom line of your prayer is that the Father wants your joy to be full. How many of you have ever prayed any day and got the answer? How did you feel when you got the answer? How did you feel? Can I get Matthew 7 from verse 7? So, how do you now pray? I'm not talking about how long you pray. I'm not talking about the method you pray. I just want to show you very simple things, and I'm going to lead you to pray. Ask. Give it to me in amplified version. Keep on asking, and it will be giving you. Maybe we should. What's in verse 6? Okay, give me verse 7. Amplified. Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you. The next verse. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will open. Pastor Charlie, come again. Let's try that thing. For what man? For every man who keeps on. Now look at what it's supposed to be. Oh yeah, send me to the father. Pastor Charlie, get to the end. Tell me.
Mm-hmm. Madam, please go and meet my father. Tell him to give you anything you want.
Okay. Father, are you there?
Yes.
Are you there? I've come to collect my phone. Jesus. I came on his behalf of Jesus.
Come in.
Yes, Father, I've come to collect it. Can I have it?
Yes.
I haven't gotten it.
You have it.
Where is it?
You will have it.
Give it to me.
Now.
Until you get it, don't stop asking. That's what the Bible says. You know what we do? You just go there. Father.
Yes.
Where can I get the phone?
What phone?
It's not his way to give me phone. You just go there once and you just knock and you don't get the thing, you make up God's mind for him. You say, it's not his way to give me. And there you go. If you don't do that, you just knock once and say, maybe he's angry with me. That's why he's not giving me. You just knocked once. And you know, the Bible said, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Majority of us give up at the time when God is about to release the thing. That's why I showed you, ask and keep on asking. Until you get what you're asking for, don't stop asking. You know why we have pain in prayer? Our pain in prayer comes from, you asked and you didn't get, and then you felt pain and you felt discouraged and you walked away. The procedure and the protocol of prayer demands that you keep knocking. Sometimes you knock for 40 years. Sometimes you knock for 20 years. Sometimes you knock for 10 days. Sometimes it's a sentence you made. I don't understand how it happens. Sometimes I just pray a careless prayer and God gives an answer. Sometimes I pray for a long time and the answer does not come in for about 15 years, maybe about 20 years. But the point is, don't ever get to the point where you chicken away or you simply say, he's not going to give me again. He has changed his mind. Or you think, I'm not good enough. I'm not precious enough for him to give me. The procedure and the protocol is you keep asking until you get it. Lift your hand and say, today. I must keep asking. Shout it very loud. Shout it very loud. Shout it very loud. Maybe you should flip a little bit more. Let me see. What other verses? Flip again. Flip one more. So whatever you desire, so then whatever you desire that others will do for you, also do it. Now if God can say this, that if you desire that others will do something for you, you should do it also. Him, God, will do the same thing. Whenever you want to ask something from God, remember, I think in John 15, verse 11, in verse 7, he said, ask. In verse 11, he said, that your joy may be full. And it was in Psalm 16, where he said, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And the Bible says, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure, complete and overflowing. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. May I say to you, the goal of your prayer, the direction where you start praying, the direction of that prayer in the sight of God is that your joy may be full. And wherever you see joy, you see the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. How many of you would like to ask God for something today? Let me see your hand. Shall we stand up then and ask? Do you want to really ask? Are you sure? Okay, so shall we thank him first of all, and then we're going to ask him for something? The 40 days fast is put in place for you to get into a bad position so that the labor pain will be over. So shall we first of all thank him for his goodness? Thank him that he's willing to give. Thank him that he's willing to give. Thank him that he's willing to give. Thank him that he's willing to give.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.